Perhaps we'll try, Be'ezus Hashem, Glinda, to discuss one or two halachic perspectives on voting, on elections. I think it's pretty well known that the same was said b'shem Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, that it's very important to vote. Jews are supposed to vote. We all have a chiyuv to Acheinu B'nei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. We all have a chiyuv to Acheinu B'nei Yisrael b'chol mokom shehem. And we all have a chiyuv that they're all not identifying the chiyuvim, but we all have a chiyuv also to be contributing members of society, to contribute to Yeshuva Shalom. Since the results of elections impact all of those areas, so we have an obligation to try to bring about the favorable result in each of those areas. So there's a chiyuv to vote. Well, what about the question that obviously the odds are so astronomical that any individual's vote is really going to make the difference, as to be totally negligible? So that question actually leads to a very important principle in halacha, which it is relevant in many other seemingly very different contexts. When they began with the genetic testing before a couple got married, so the main thing they were testing for originally was Tay-Sachs. Now, it was always the case that the odds that any one couple getting married would, Rachman Litzlan, have a Tay-Sachs child were certainly a mir chena motzu the holidays. That this young man and this young lady were getting married, that they would both be carriers and Rachman and Tzal would have a Tay-Sachs child, it was a mir chena motzi. So for a mir chena motzi, you don't have to be choshesh. And after Pichain, there was a very broad consensus that one is supposed to check, one is supposed to test. And the explanation for that is very simple, that even though on an individual basis it's a mir chena motzi, but in terms of the tzibur as a whole, it was guaranteed that without testing, there were such cases. And these terrible tragedies did happen. And even if one individually can't make a difference, but if the tzibur as a whole can make a difference, so then one is obligated to do it as part of the tzibur. The same was true, let's say, during COVID, when again, whatever the understanding is today, I'm not implying what is or what it isn't, but when the understanding was that masking was very important. So even then, I think it was true that any one individual masking didn't make an impact necessarily. But if you had large numbers of people masking, that would make a difference. So there too, Einachanami, maybe Betoras Yochid, if you isolated the person as a Yochid, maybe he had no Chiyuv. But as a part of the Klal, and the Klal did have the wherewithal and therefore the obligation to make a difference, so then the person has a chiyuv to do it as part of the klal. And the same is true when it comes to voting. That ein hachanami, any one individual's vote is not going to make a difference. I don't know that there's ever been an election in some little town for dog catcher with a margin of victory was one vote. So the odds of any one individual's vote being, I'm the one who elected John Adams, you should know I'm the one who did it. No. So I don't know that anyone can, I am old enough to have done that, but otherwise it's not too credible a story. So any one individual's vote is not going to do it. But Avada, whether the Tzibor is the Jewish community, or whether the Tzibor is as part of the American citizenry, so Avada, the Hamon Am, can and do make the difference. So then, Memela, a person has the Chiyuv as a member of that collective to vote. I mean, how does the community as a whole vote? How does the city? How does the state? How does the country as a whole vote? By every yachid voting. So that's why it translates halacha l'maisa that every yachid has to vote, even though again it certainly is true that the chances of an individual vote really tipping the scales are entirely negligible. It's so compelling in Sfar, you don't need a raya, but you have it's a kal v'chomer ben benoshel kal v'chomer from Adin and Shulchan Aruch. It says in Shulchan Aruch, by Chazaras Hashatz, that if the Shatz is saying Chazaras Hashatz, and you don't have 9 people listening, so it's Korov, Lios, whatever that formulation means, however that should be understood, it's Korov, Lios, Brachas, Levatala. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, Lachain, therefore, even if you're part of a minyan with far more than 10 people, everyone has to make himself as though there's only 10, and that his participation is indispensable. So there, it's again, I leave with the emes that the mashmas and Shulchan Aruch is that it's enough to have just 10 to validate the Chazaras Hashatz. And afal pichein, the chiyuv is if there's 100 people in the minyan, so everyone has to make the cheshbon that it's my chiyuv to make sure that there's 9 people listening to Chazaras Hashatz. These cases are all, you'll think about it, they're a kal v'chomer ben benosh al kal v'chomer from that din in Shulchan Aruch. The Rav Zichron Levracha didn't endorse candidates in elections. He obviously had his opinions. He went and he voted. He had his opinions, but he didn't endorse candidates. The reason, as I understand it, if there's a flaw in the reasoning, it's mine. But the reason for that, as I understand it, is probably twofold. First of all, which candidate a person votes for is never purely a function of halachic priorities of Torah values. And just to, again, to illustrate. Let's say you would have two candidates and they had identical positions on everything other than on economic matters. And one wants to vote based on, which is what one should do, based on Torah values and halachic priorities. So one's going to vote for whoever economic, whichever candidate is going to help poor people more, is going to advance the causes of tzedek and yosha. So you can have two people who vote, and they're both voting based on the same halachic priorities and Torah values, and they'll vote for opposing candidates. Because at the end of the day, when you vote for someone, that there are two elements that go into the decision. One element are, again, what you're prioritizing in making your decision. What are you prioritizing in making your decision? Right? As, you know, conventional political wisdom is that most Americans prioritize the economy, right? It's the economy, stupid. It's the famous phrase. So one element, one component is what a Ben Torah prioritizes in terms of deciding, but the other then is the political assessment of which candidate's policies will achieve that result. And even when people agree on the first element of what the halachic values are and what the Torah priorities should be, and that, of course, a Rav can't speak to those issues, but there's always the second element of the political assessment. It's true this year, it's true every year, it's true in every single election. I don't know, Kishem Sepir Tzufayim Shon, Kach Deir Seyem Shonos. People see the same situation differently. And in every election, you can have people who agree on what the priorities should be, what the overriding values should be, what results you want to see from the election, and they'll vote for opposite candidates. So there's always that element of the political assessment. When it comes to the political assessment, so there's no rabbinic authority there. And it's a misapplication of rabbinic authority to then give a rabbinic endorsement. A Rav, and the more prominent the Rav is, you know, if it's not A, but if it's with a hey, or the, if it's the Rav, so there's certainly no such thing as in public expressing an opinion which isn't construed understandably as a rabbinic position, but it doesn't lend itself to rabbinic authority. What the priorities should be in terms of issues and values, that does lend itself to definitive rabbinic halachic pronouncement, but the political assessment of the candidates does not. That's beyond the expertise of even Gedolim. Moshe L'Mado Avadom, the same way in medical matters. So in medical matters, so the when the Rav Paskins a shaila in medical matters, he needs the input of the Rofe Mumcha. I think that was the main consideration as to why he would not endorse political candidates. Then it also, for the same reason, because there is a political dimension. Ultimately, there's always a political dimension to the decision. When a Rav does take a position on politics, so he becomes partisan. And that undermines him in what he's supposed to be doing in terms of giving people halachic guidance and hadracha and being mashpia and inspiring. The partisanship undermines him in what he is supposed to be doing. It is true that the biggest gedolim are also tremendous pikkun. That certainly is true. And whatever the question is in any discipline, pikkus is part of arriving at the right answer. But there's also an expertise. A doctor who's an expert and a pikeach to a doctor who doesn't have the same level of pikeach. But the pikeach doesn't substitute for the expertise. And it's not true to the same degree in politics. But there is an element of expertise there also, which is why, again, the pikchus of an Adam Godel, notwithstanding, it doesn't make his political opinions authoritative or definitive, and certainly not in any halachic sense. It's certainly not backed up by his rabbinic authority. So also, and maybe one last comment. It's not uncommon for Jews living outside of Medinas Yisrael to be suspected of, accused of dual loyalties. Now, given that we're the only minority group who's suspected of that, so it's quite clear where that question and charge comes from, and doesn't have any legitimacy. But Afal Pi Chein, it's still important to know that the reality is because of the convergence of the interests of Medinas Yisrael and of the United States in international affairs in the Middle East, the interests converge, and there is no and it's, you know, if a person is asked the question, so damas atoshev. The same forces that don't push back against anti-Semitism in American society are destroying the fabric of American society in ways that affect the entire society, and not only Jews. And those who would abandon Medinas Yisrael do so in a way that imperils the United States national security as well. A nuclear Iran, Rahman Letzlan, doesn't only represent a threat to Medinas Yisrael, it certainly represents a threat to the West as well. So, again, it's not a legitimate question in the first place, because it's quite clear where the question comes from. But we should also know that additionally, there's no truth, and there's no substance to it.